لا إلا بالله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك وأنعم على نبينا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. اللهم صلي على سيدنا محمد في الأولين وصلي عليه في الآخرين وصلي عليه في الملأ الأعلى إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, السلام عليكم brothers and sisters. Wanted to share with you today, in this blessed night, Laylatul Jum'ah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among al-maghfoorin in this night, inshaAllah ta'ala. A story of someone who is very dear to me. And he is a convert. But his story is very unique. This brother is from Colombia. His name is Santos. Now his name, mashaAllah, is Omar. Omar was a Christian. He was born and raised as a Christian. And he was following the religion of his father and his mother. He used to go to the church. And then at some point, Christianity didn't make sense to him at some point. The whole thing with Trinity and all of this theological issues did not make sense to him. And in addition to this, he was not happy because he's always in this internal conflict, always, you know, questioning his faith. And that caused him at some point to actually leave Christianity. And he became an atheist. And he was hoping that once he, you know, becomes an atheist, that he will get content and happier. And in fact, he got more depressed. And this internal conflict increases even more. And then an incident happened when one of the celebrities, some of us might know him, he's a chef, and he used to have a beautiful show. I used to follow his show. He travels all over the world. He tastes different food, get to know different culture. MashaAllah, he's a handsome man. He's healthy. He has two beautiful daughters. Has a beautiful family. And he's definitely very wealthy. So, technically speaking, he actually has everything. But he was missing one thing. He was actually an atheist. And he used to defend atheism until his death. He used to be very aggressive against religions in general. And then, about maybe 2 years ago, he committed suicide in his hotel room in Italy. And this brother, when he was watching him, and then he figured that and learned that he actually ended, he got so terrified. He said, "Oh my God, now I left Christianity, I became an atheist, and I'm getting more depressed, and then I don't want to follow the path of this guy. I want to save myself." And this brother, Omar, is very intelligent, extremely intelligent, very smart. So he decided to learn about religions from scratch, all over again. He said, "I started reading 3 hours every day for almost 15 months about Christianity, about Judaism, and about Islam." And then he said, "I need to figure it out. I need to know which religion is the true religion, because now I believe that there is a higher power. Now I gotta know which religion should I follow." Anyway, Omar said, just to make it, you know, to summarize all of his journey of becoming Muslim, he said, "When I started reading the Quran, I started reading the entire Quran, I felt that Allah is speaking to my heart and to my mind, both." He said, "Wallahi, I felt it." And then he said, "There are three aspects in the Quran that hit me hard. hit my heart hard and hit my mind hard. He said, the first thing that hit my mind hard is that an ayah, and subhanAllah, this ayah, most of us, we don't really pay attention to the miracle of this ayah, subhanAllah. He said, I was reading the story of Prophet Musa, and then I figured that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is naming the ruler of Egypt, Fir'aun, Pharaoh. But the only time that Allah did not call the ruler of Egypt, Fir'aun, was at the time of Prophet Yusuf. He called him Malik. وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ أُتُونِي بِهِ Surah Yusuf. So it didn't make sense to him. It's like, why? This is almost the same time. Why here the Quran is naming the ruler of Egypt as Malik while he's naming it in the Prophet, in the story of Prophet Musa, Fir'aun? And why the other traditions are calling the ruler of Egypt at the time of Prophet Yusuf, Fir'aun? Something is not adding up here. Then he said, I started researching about it, and then I figured, subhanAllah, that historians say that the only time the Egyptians used to call the ruler Malik was at the time of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. And that goes aligned with the narration of the Quran. SubhanAllah. I want you to pay attention because there are two philosophical points that got him closer to Islam, and then one heart, you know, comfort that he finds in the Quran. So I want you to pay attention. So number one he found is that the historians proved that Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, at his time, the ruler of Egypt used to be called Malik, not Fir'aun. You got the first king. That the first, you got the first point. Second point, and I want your attention. I want your attention. I usually don't give this philosophical approach in my khatras, but please pay attention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and this is, it was so beautiful hearing it from him. He said, I was reading, and then Allah said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. This is what Allah said in the Quran. I told him, okay, so what's unique about this ayah? He said, Allah said that He holds the knowledge of the Day of Judgment, meaning that He owns this knowledge. Meaning that no one is sharing this knowledge with Allah. He's the only one. I told him, okay. Then he said, and then Allah said, وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ, and Allah sent down rain. I told him, fine. So what is the point? He said, read after this. I told him, yes. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. He told me, Allah is saying here, and He also knows about the knowledge of the womb, the baby, the development of the baby inside the sack of the woman. And he told me Allah was very precise because He said, I'm not the only one who knows this knowledge, because now with the technology and ultrasound and blood tests, we can actually know the gender of the baby. So if Allah were to say that I'm the only one who holds this knowledge, it will be a contradiction. But Allah was very precise when it comes to the Day of Judgment. He said, I'm the only one who has knowledge about it. And then when it comes to the knowledge of the womb, He said, I also know that knowledge. So Allah was very precise. So that is the second point. I told him, what about the heart? He said, in every religion, I wanted to know what God wants from me. So I searched about Allah yurid, Allah wants, in the entire Quran, to see what Allah wants from us. For those who are hafal, 99% from the words of the Quran, when Allah says Allah wants, is always something beautiful comes after it. So Allah says in the Quran, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرِ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرِ. Allah wants ease for you and doesn't want you to struggle. And He was struggling. So he's looking at this. Allah wants ease for me. Okay. What about the second ayah? وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah wants to forgive you. Allah wants to forgive you. And then what's the third ayah? اللَّهُ يُرِيدُ يريد الله أن يخفف عنكم. الله يخفف. That's a beautiful Arabic verb. يخفف means when you carry something so heavy and someone just gets it from you to make it light on you. This is what Allah is saying here. Allah يريد أن يخفف عنكم. And he said, I was struggling with a lot. And I just feel that Allah is speaking to me directly. He's telling me, I want to أخفف عنك. I want to take this hem, this heavy weight on your shoulder. I wanted to take it away. So he said, Wallahi, I did not find this connection in any other book but the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who understand and comprehend and contemplate in the words of His. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.